You know what helped me?
No, well, sure.
I'm doing the kid in Korea for quite a long time already. And that's like going from the head to the heart and balancing it. And when I do the kid in Korea, so your heart gets so, your emotion gets so big or something. And you have the feeling, and you can share also better when you do the Kirtan Kriya. It's like connecting to your heart, so you know what you want.
Yeah, it's also the Kriya for clarity. Good day, everybody. This is Sandesh again from the Kundalini Awakening Podcast. It's very nice to have you here. Today, I have a very special guest. He is, to my knowledge, the youngest Kundalini Yoga teacher in our Sangat at the Kundalini Yoga Club. His name is Storm van der Veele. We'll call him Storm. So it promised to be a very eventful conversation, but very welcome, Storm. Nice to have you here, the youngest teacher in our Sangat.
Thank you.
Hey, tell something about you before Kundalini Yoga. What's your life? Where do you live? You know, just let people know where you come from.
I live in Friesland. So in the Netherlands, and in Hardegrijp, it's close to Leeuwarden. And I followed, of course, just primary school and also secondary school. And well, before Kundalini Yoga is actually very long ago, because my mother, she also teaches Kundalini Yoga in a primary school, and I followed a few lessons, and I don't remember it very good, but I do know it changed me a little bit. It was a lot about focusing. Well, being more calm. When I was young, I was really calm, and it's also was about focus. And well, while we're doing yoga, it was a lot about if you have anything, like if there's anything in your nose, like a hair on your nose, and you have to scratch, just focus on yourself and try not to scratch it. that little things, but it really helps when you're a child. Yeah.
So you're saying it helped you to be aware of yourself and not to react to things.
Yeah, that's what it is. If you have a very big emotion, you can just, or like just scratching your nose, to just keep it yourself and make your own decisions.
You're lucky you, your mom was did you experience it as a lucky you that your mom was a Kundalini Yoga teacher?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
But at that time, I wasn't really aware of Kundalini Yoga. It was just really nice to do.
And how did you experience mom when she was doing yoga at home? How was that for you? Did you see any experience impact on her? Did you notice?
No, I wasn't really aware of that too. But she did sing, like before I went to bed, she did sing mantras, which was really nice. And she did her own practice very much. I could hear it sometimes, like when she was in the yoga room doing her practice. I don't know. I'm just used to it.
So, in what age did you decide to be? Tell us the moment that you said, "I want to be a Kundalini yoga teacher." And what age was that? And what setting was that?
I think I was 17 years old, and it was in the summer vacation after I finished my first year of theater school, and I quit from my theater school because I just really didn't want it anymore, because it was I just didn't want it anymore. And then my mother came. I didn't know what to do next year, so my mother, she said, "Oh, there's like this really good teacher in the Netherlands, in Guru Gyan, and he gives a level one next year. Do you want to do it?" I said yes. It just came to me, and that was really nice. I didn't have to think about it at all. It was really good. Yeah.
So at 17, you say yes to a Kundalini yoga teacher training. What was your relationship to Kundalini yoga at that time? Were you practicing it yourself, or?
As I said, I followed some classes. Also, when I was at theater school, I followed some classes with my mother. And I read a lot of spiritual books called Anastasia, and they were really transformative. So it's just spirituality that brought me to the Kundalini Yoga teacher training. Not specifically Kundalini Yoga, but because of my mom, she knew about it. So that's also a reason. And I also did a vision quest.
Tell us about that. What is that? A vision quest. Some people don't know what it is, but sure.
A vision quest. I did it. I did a 5-day vision quest. And a vision quest is about coming to yourself and receiving from outside, and like actually from inside, the answers from inside, but well, you were outside for 5 days, so without food, just water at your own spot. I also did it with my mom.
Were you sitting next to your mom?
No, I did it that's alone, so you're completely alone for like, I think I actually did it 4 days. We started on Monday and we ended it on Friday, so 4 nights. Yeah. And yeah, so no eating, not just drinking and taking spirulina, which is really cleansing for your body. So it's also very cleansing. And that the process to that, because you also have to make your own flex to set your own square where you're in the whole time, like your own space, and then you attach it to trees around you so you don't come outside that space.
Oh wow. So you have to put your own borders in a way that becomes your 5-day prison, and you have to sit there.
Yes.
And you did that voluntarily.
Yeah.
Oh wow. And that happened that summer too, when you
quit
theater school.
Yeah.
And that was before the decision to make Kundalini yoga.
Yes. And also what helped me with my decision to do the Kundalini yoga is at theater school. It was so nice, theater school. I really enjoyed it, especially first half year. But somehow the second half year wasn't that nice. I just wasn't feeling creative anymore. And the first half year I did feel very creative. So the second half year I didn't feel creative anymore. It was just hard. And so that also brought me to do Kundalini yoga because I want to feel creativity again. And now I experience, actually, Kundalini is just creativity. So it's so nice. You can just make so easy the scenes that you make a theater when you do Kundalini yoga. It's, I think, it's just like golden key to becoming a very good actor or whatever you want.
Whatever you want to create, right?
Yes, exactly. Whatever you want to create.
Okay, so let me just recap this. So you kind of stopped theater school because you were not feeling creative. You did a vision quest, starved yourself only on water spirulina in a somewhere outside, and after that, the answer was pretty clear for you. You would go on a Kundalini yoga teacher training. Wow, that's quite a story on itself. That's quite. Let's go back to that fishing quest. What happened in there?
It wasn't only in the vision quest, but also at the journey to the vision quest. So I was mentioning like making the flax, you like put herbs in it, and then you tie to a rope, and then another one tie to a rope, and you in each one you put a mantra. You put the same mantra in each flag. So that's also the process to that. It was really, that also helped. But I don't remember anymore what I got from the process. But in the fishing quest, it was just I don't know. It was actually kind of hard, the fishing quest. But that's usual, I think. Because I was actually used to fasting a little bit. I did it a few times already, and I actually didn't eat very much. But so it was, I don't know if it actually was really healthy for me to do the fasting, but actually the process to the vision quest helped me the most.
Okay.
Like to it. Yeah.
Okay. So the preparation, the preparation of your mind, your spirit to go into the quest was more supportive for you.
Yes, because we also did a very long walk for 1 day. We walked. You have to walk alone for 1 day without food to prepare yourself. And I did that in Italy, in the mountains, which was beautiful. And I found a skull from like a goat, mountain goat, and other things, and that gave me also like visions or just good thoughts about my future. And then I decided when I was in Italy, because we're on vacation in Italy, that I really wanted to quit. I just felt like, so I felt it so bad. I wanted to quit so bad. And so I told it to my parents, and luckily they were supportive. I have very nice parents, and so I quit. And then, but that feeling of really wanting something, I had it also when I also went to the ashram Ramdas Guru in Portugal, and I also had. Oh,
Okay.
it there when I was actually going after my first teacher training. I was going to do another school, but then I felt like, oh. My mother also mentioned it a few times, but that I didn't really connect to it. that I could also go to an ashram. But suddenly one day I felt like, whoa, I don't know, what's the feeling I feel and how it's happening. And then it popped into my mind, like the ashram. And I really wanted to go to the ashram suddenly, and I just had to cry so much. I really want to go.
Oh, okay. Now you're fast forwarding, but yeah, just to give a context to people, you did the teacher training, and so you've been in Kundalini yoga practice for some time, right? Since that summer. How long between that summer that you decided until the decision of the ashram? What was the timing?
That was 1 year.
Oh, 1 year.
Yeah.
You go from a teacher training into an ashram into 1 year. Oh my God, Storm. I think many Kundalini yogis out there will might take a lifetime to make such a decision. You made that in 1 year. Oh my gosh.
Ooh. What you know what helped me?
No, well, sure.
I'm doing the Kirin Kriya for quite a long time already, and that's like going from the head to the heart and balancing it. And when I do the Kirin Kriya, so your heart gets so, your emotion gets so big or something, and you have the feeling, and you can share also better when you do the Kirin Kriya. It's like connecting to your heart, so you know what you want.
Yeah, it's also the kriya for clarity, right? So it's clear what you want, and when something is clear, it's easier to communicate about it, correct?
Yeah.
Wow.
And on the journey, the journey of the Kirin Kriya, I shared a lot that I was scared to share. For a long time, I was scared to share things like about myself, about what I think, about my feelings. But when I did the Kirin Kriya, it all became easier. And just so it's from going to the heart. So the Kirin Kriya is going to the heart. And
Sorry for breaking in, but for the listeners out there, could you describe what is a Kirtan Kriya? What is a Kriya?
Yeah. It's a Kundalini yoga meditation. So that's one of my deepest experience with the Kundalini yoga is the Kirtan Kriya, actually, because I'm doing it for quite a long time. And the Kirtan Kriya, you use a mantra. It's called the mantra is Satanama, and it's from the mantra Satnam, which means true identity. So who I really am. That's what you discover when you do the Kirin Kriya. And you use a mudra and a focus, like your focus is the energy coming in from your crown chakra and going out of your third eye. And so it's also balancing for your brain, your true brain, two sides of the brain, also for balancing and much other things. Yeah.
I guess it's very difficult to explain. Can you give us an indication how long you have experienced the Kirtan Kriya? I mean, how very long? We don't know what the very long means for you.
It's the longest meditation I did in like every day in a row. It's
when did you start?
I started in September when I did my teacher training.
Okay.
For 550 days or something.
So that's what you mean with pretty long. 550 days.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Honestly, people, I have not heard such a story yet. A young man of 17 starts to decide to go on the Kundalini teacher training. A year later, he decides to go into an ashram. And in between, he does a 550 days Kirtan Kriya, and Kirtan Kriya can be done between 11 and 31 minutes of meditation. That's a whole pack of Kundalini energy in one almost 2 years. Oh my gosh. I now inside of me grows this hunger to know where you are next year.
Yes.
Well, okay, that's incredible. 550 days, or let's say about 500 plus days of Kirtan Kriya.
Yeah.
What sparked you to commit to that and not skipping the days? Did you skip when you were sick, or you really did it every day?
Yes, I did it every day. And at the first, in the beginning, the first 100 days or 50 days, sometimes I did it 11 minutes, but then on the day 100, I don't know when, I decided I need to do it every day for half an hour, because that's way more powerful, probably. And
that was coming from your head or from your heart?
That was coming from my heart, I think.
Okay.
And so, and I did it till now. What was the question again?
Where was the commitment to do 100 every day?
Yeah. It started when I saw a video of Yogi Bhajan, or Guru Gyan mentioned it in the training. If there's one kriya you have to do, you're going to do 1,000 days, you should do the Kirtan Kriya. And I wanted to do 1,000-day meditation, and so I thought, okay, let's do the Kirtan Kriya.
Oh, wow. I think the right word for me is being flabbergasted right here. This is Kundalini awakening for sure. To commit to 1,000 days of a 30-minute meditation, Kirtan Kriya. What does it give you more? What does it give you so much that you want to commit 1,000 days to meditation?
In the beginning, I just wanted to experience it. This experience of Kundalini Yoga is so nice. And I wanted to know what the experience was of doing 1,000-day meditation. So that's what I was thinking about. And what I'm feeling now with the experience of the Kirtan Kriya, it gives me so much teachings every day. And like, you can't say anything wrong, or I don't know. It gives me just very much teachings. And it also brings me on the right path when I'm really off, or when I don't know something. And I just meditate on the Kirtan Kriya. And if I don't know how to make the decision, and I just meditate on the Kirtan Kriya, then I feel like, oh yeah, my heart. That's what's the most important. Yeah.
So in a way, the Kirtan Kriya guides you through life in a genuine path which is aligned with your heart.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, and all this wisdom that you receive for the day, I recognize this. Only for me, it's a Japji Sahib. I do that every day. I think I've passed my 1,000 days of Japji Sahib, so I can relate with you very much. It doesn't matter what meditation you do, right? As long as you like the experience, and then just go for 1,000 days. And honestly, nowadays, I don't even care about how many days I do. It's just part of me, right? And so it sounds for you, the Kirtan Kriya. A very nice point to celebrate. So congratulations on finding that meditation or that practice that you know it's a part of you. You don't need to even doubt about it, whether to do it or not. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And so now you are 19?
Yes.
Incredible. I'm still amazed. Something in me is just like continuously wondering, oh my gosh, where will he be when he's 40 or 45, my age? I cannot even imagine what will be, but I hope that this podcast will still be around and we'll get you back in the podcast.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a big master in making. That's the sense that I'm feeling right now. Thank you so much for sharing the story. Let's go back into the teachings. So you went from a Dutch high school into a year of theater school and then into a year of teacher training with Guru Gyan. Tell me more. How was that for you?
Yeah, it was somehow transformative, but also the journey was also painful. It went very fast and also sometimes very slow, but it's like so much energy. I think there's so much. It was just the Kundalini just going on in my body, and I didn't know what to do with it. In the end, I did know what to do with it.
You went to the ashram.
To the teacher training. Yeah, I went to the ashram.
Tell me during that time, because people don't know what is a teacher training. Can you explain the teacher training? The process?
Yeah. Yes. The teacher training, first you go, there's when you go to the teacher training, we did like four times. We went to the retreat center for four times. It's like spread over a year. So the first time you get so much teachings and it's so new all, and it's beautiful. And
why was it beautiful?
Because you do very much yoga and meditation, and you get guided in it. So it's not hard, but you get you get so much energy and so much good feelings, but also it's going to your heart. So also, like, sometimes you can feel sad or you can feel lonely, but that's normal. It's like also in the ashram you can also feel very much feelings, but that's the ashram. But and the first period is about your nabi, and it's like creating power so you can pull it up to your crown chakra and your heart in the end. And so that's what the other parts are about. The first one is about creating shakti,
the fire of transformation.
Yes, and then pulling it up to your crown chakra and letting it sink in your heart. And so the next weeks, the next few days, I went to the retreat. So the first week is about this, the nabi, and the weeks after is about pulling it up, going to your heart. And
Then maybe I can help you. So
yes,
the teacher training, you get introduced into what Kundalini Yoga is, a bit of history, a bit of teachings, where it comes from. But the main purpose is to awaken the energy, the Kundalini energy in you, and then guide you to bring that energy up through all your chakras, right? And then the purpose is to open up the crown chakra so that you are connected with universe, which is yoga. The science that makes you connect to that piece of infinity within you, and you experience that. But you said, and that's separated over four chapters of a week of training. And can you said it was painful. But in a way, you're okay with it. Can you explain that to me?
The pain of the heart. Like the desire for going to the heart and like feeling heartbroken in some point, at some way, in some way, you can feel heartbroken, but it's such a big feeling to feel heartbroken. And it's not like you feel heartbroken all the time. That's not true. You can feel it, but if you really feel it, then you can why do I feel this? And then I don't know. Sometimes you just feel, I just feel heartbroken, but it's because I have so much feelings. And if I give into my feelings, I don't know where it's going.
If I sense you well, just let me see if I can help you.
Yeah.
During the training, you were finding your way back to your heart.
Yeah.
And it was okay to be in the heart. Didn't matter what you felt, even if it was heartbroken. The training gives you a safe place to be in your heart and to explore the heart. Is that what I sense from you, what you want to say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Well, why I sense it is because I had the same during my teacher training. I was taught to survive, and the heart was pretty closed, or many times closed. And in a way, it's very comforting that it's okay to feel the heart. And it doesn't matter whether you cry, you scream, or whatever. It's just okay to feel the heart, right?
Yeah. To just be with that feeling is great.
Yes, exactly. Just full acceptance of the heart. And how was that? When did you realize? Can you go back to the moment maybe that you felt, oh, wow, I'm in my heart?
When I was at home, and I was singing mantra. And I was doing it was in the first challenge, the first 40 days I did from the teacher training. It's like homework you get. And I was singing mantra. I just wanted to sing mantra. And it was so nice.
And which mantra did you sing that evoked your feeling of your heart?
I don't remember it anymore, but any mantra can do that, because mantra is opening the heart. Kirtan actually means opening the heart, and Kirtan Kriya.
Just to open the heart.
Yeah, just to open the heart. And you can also sing like Kirtan, and you just sing any mantra if you say sing Kirtan. So it's just every mantra can open the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and it also depends. I want to add to this is that we all build with the seven chakras, and some parts of the chakras are more open than others, and for all of us that's maybe a different combination. And to really flow the energy through the heart chakra, you want to open them all. So certain mantras will open the seventh chakra more, or certain will open, unblock the first or the second. So they can all help towards opening the heart. And it's a journey to find it. That's why we do things like the mantra challenge with the Kundalini Yoga Club. Okay, so you opened your heart, you thought you knew it was safe to be in your heart, to listen to your heart, you understood your Kundalini energy, you have the teachings now of being a teacher. Are you teaching?
I think I thought about teaching, but I'm not teaching at the moment.
And I did that's okay. Yeah? And a lot of people think that if you do the teacher training, you have to be a teacher. But how did the teacher training serve you?
Well, I get so much knowledge from it, like from the chakras. What do I need when I feel in a certain way or when I think in a certain way? And so you can just go when you're in a bad situation or you feel just bad, you can go like, oh, okay, what do I need? And then like, oh, all my thoughts, they're not in line, or my third chakra feels like I have to, every chakra also has a good, or well, a balanced side and an unbalanced side. And if you feel the unbalanced side, you can, oh, like I can balance it again.
Mm.
With this practice, I can balance it.
Nice, huh? So Kundalini Yoga, if I understand you well, the teachings gave you an understanding better of who you are, what your energies of chakras are, what your Kundalini energy is, and also it gives you tools to maintain your balance or to work on improving your balance, and also to recognize when you're out of balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah. And
it's just incredible that you're raised without this knowledge at schools. I'm very passionate about making this knowledge available for much more young people like you. Because you're at the start of your life, it's good that you know you have these tools to help yourself, which is much better than not knowing you've got tools to help yourself, that you're dependent on others, right? So in a way, I look at you, I see somebody who's so fully conscious on his path at the age of 19. That's incredible to me. And then you went and you popped up a message. You said to me, Sandesh, I'm going to the ashram. And then the journey of the ashram began. Tell us which ashram, and how did you select the ashram, or was it coming from the meditation?
It was also coming from the meditation. But also, my mother mentioned it a few times, and then it popped into my mind suddenly. And that's how my choice came.
And where was it? So where did you go?
It was in Portugal, above Lisbon, very close. And it's ashram Shiv Charan and Satya created. Satya is the wife of Shiv Charan. And yeah, it's a really good ashram. It's called Ashram Ramdas Guru. And it's the fourth guru in the Kundalini lineage, or the guru lineage.
Yeah.
And that's where it is.
And how did it... tell us about the process. You decide you want to go there. How were you accepted? What's the exchange? You can just go there, or what do you need to do to stay in an ashram?
Well, it's that's a good question. Yeah, I do a lot of seva there, and seva means service without asking anything in return, and not also thinking you get anything in return. Just giving. And while you do seva, it's usual that you sing as mantra. Can be very simple, like Satnam or Waheguru or Har. And that's our very beautiful mantras. Har means God. And it's really energizing, but also really confronting. Can be really confronting. But if you sing in mantras, you can go through everything. When you do seva, you put your mind off, sing har, and like har, har, then rhythm, and it can go through anything, and it feels so great. It's the greatest feeling there is.
And what kind of seva did you did? Is that something we can ask, or is that something you don't want to share?
Yes, I did. I cleaned dinner cleanup, or breakfast, lunch, and it's also people make food, so it's also cooking is also seva, and also gardening, but also cleaning the bathrooms or cleaning the yoga room, things like that.
So you were helping to keep the place tidy space. And in return, what did you receive, or without expecting, but what did you get from the living in the ashram?
It was a Kundalini yoga ashram. So every morning there's a sadhana from 5:30 to 8. Do I say it right? Yeah, 5:30 to 8. And so you do the japji in the sadhana, you do kriya, and you do mantras. And after that, there's also been taking a hukam from the Sri Guru Granth Sahib.
What does that mean?
The Sri Guru Granth Sahib is actually the 11th guru. It's like very much shabads and mantras put into a book. That's the Sri Guru Granth Sahib.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can explain it further. But
yes, I think I can. The wisdom from the 10 gurus was collected and gathered, and all of that was put into one holy book, which was named to be the 11th guru. And also with that, it was said, after this, there will be no more physical guru. The physical reincarnation of the guru will stop and will reside in the wisdom of this book. And the hukam is apart from the book, right? A daily process to take a bit of inspiration from the book, to let the book guide you for that day, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And you stayed there how long?
2.5 months.
Okay. Tell us what you experienced. What did this experience give to you? Being in a surrounded, like that's a 360 surrounded environment of Kundalini energy. What did that give to you?
Well, at first it gave me. I went there with sort of a vision in my mind. I wanted to do sadhana for 2.5 months. Like it's 2.5 hours, so I wanted to keep it up. Because I wasn't able to do that before I went to the ashram. I just did the Kirtan Kriya and the Japji every day, which is also already very good. But I wanted to keep up the 2.5 hour sadhana. And I did that, and it was really nice. A lot of teachings and processes, people meeting people. There are so much interesting people there, and what I received there is very great. I can't explain it. That's how great it is.
It was a great experience. Surrounded like, go on.
Yeah. It's like there's mantras about from Guru Nanak or from other gurus. They say like, there's no words for it. You can't explain it. And that's how it is to be there. And it's also very challenging at one point. But if you go through the challenge every time, sometimes that's where the seva is for. So you're not going to distract yourself with anything else. You can just be there, and it's not. And you also have 2 days off, so you don't have to be full time. It's full time working on yourself. You can also relax, and I thought that taught me when I was there, I figured out, I can also relax. I don't have to work on myself full time, and that's really, really stressing out. And so I learned how to be nice to myself also.
So surrounded by nice people, you learn to be nice to yourself. You get the discipline of the Aquarian sadhana. You meet people who are also on the journey like healing. And 2.5 months there. Yeah. How was it to leave the ashram?
It actually felt natural. It was a bit weird at first, but it also felt it just felt natural because I was okay with it, and it felt like that was the right thing to do. And at a certain point in the ashram, you feel that it's this is what I need to do now. Yeah.
And what was the moment that you felt like, okay, I have to go out back into the world again? Can you describe that moment?
It's interesting because I was signed for 40 days. I signed for 40 days, but at the 40 day after, I thought like, I don't know. I think I want to stay longer. So I went to stay longer. So I, in the end, I stayed 82 days. And then the last week of the 82 days, I really thought, yeah, I feel like going to, I had the idea to go to India actually, but because I wanted to seek guru, or I want to have more experience, but then I realized it's right here in the ashram. I can go back to it whenever I want. But also here at home, there's a guru. Like this is also a guru for me. Reading a good book. Yeah. And guru is like teaching, like going from the teacher that brings you from the dark to the light.
Yes. So you can, so if I understand you well, one of the main gifts you receive is to realize that the guru is with you. You don't need to seek very far. It's around you and all the experiences around you. You can find teachings, and you are given a chance to apply your teachings to evoke your consciousness.
Yes.
Beautiful. We're a bit running to the end of the session, and I always ask, what would you tell to people, and maybe to the young people out there who heard of the term Kundalini? Because you're, you know, from 17 to 19. So why don't you tell them what Kundalini means for you, and how does, you know, how it has impacted your life?
It has impacted in such a way, like, the sadhana, it gave me so much confidence about myself. I'm also following a school right now, and I'm so much more confident. I can stand up for myself, and that's what I learned from it, because before it was harder to do it. And now, because I trusted myself to do stand up every morning, I learned to trust myself and have confidence and to say I am who I am. And that's one of the biggest things I want to say to also youth, like I am who I am, and that's okay. I'm perfectly who as I am, because if you're not, then it's so stressful. Yeah.
Wow, what a wisdom. I feel, you know, as also a practitioner of the Kundalini Yoga for many years now, when there is a bit of truth really out there, then my crown chakra just starts to shake. So I had that experience when you just said it. it's just completely fine to realize I am who I am. And you realize that at the age of 19, oh my gosh, to all the young people out there, if you have the power to know and accept, fully accept who you are, what's life going to look like?
And that's the key, because you shouldn't change who you are, but sometimes when you feel like I don't want to do, like when you have addiction, you want to change the addiction, or you don't just want to stop it, because you but you can also change the wanting to have that to want something, and that's just change. And if you say I am who I am, you can change who you are in a good way, of course, because otherwise you can't, because you don't know who you are. Yeah,
so beautiful. Storm, I want to thank you very much for this conversation. I will work on this with pleasure to put it out into the podcast. Is there anything else you would like to share still?
I want to thank you also. It's really nice talking about Kundalini Yoga. It also... it's special. So thank you for that. And thank you about your sharings about everything. And your questions, your very good questions. I'm very grateful for this experience, and very grateful for the Kundalini Yoga Club and teacher training and whatever I get from it. And for so much. And that's a blessing. It's a real blessing.
It's very nice to hear. I'm sure this is not the last time we will hear from you. I'm going to follow you, chase you, whatever. I want to stay updated on how you're doing, but I'm sure we will keep in contact. Thank you so much, Storm.
Thank you.
I'm going to stop this recording.